Welcome to the latest episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Brian Antunes of Rogue3.com and QuietEarth.us. Returning with regular co-hosts.
Colleen.
Dale.
Nice to have you guys back.
Thank you.
Not necessarily like your fault, honestly.
Oh,
it's
just
it's been a busy couple of weeks.
So. When you didn't email last month, I was a little bit relieved because my life was kind of insane too.
I totally forgot. Yeah.
I just totally forgot there was so much stuff going on.
That's not happening.
I'm like going, they're going to have to podcast while I'm in London.
Sweet. What do you mean? You can't call in? What the fuck?
Yeah, we could have Skype.
I'm not doing that freaking cell phone. God damn it.
Oh, man. Oh, well. It's nice to have you guys back and that we're able to catch up with November. Mm. It's looking pretty busy.
It's looking like a very interesting November.
There's a couple good films in there. Oh, kind of almost excited. Might get almost, me to a theater if
almost
I...
Excited. Almost excited.
Yeah.
I love it.
Almost.
Well, let's jump right in because we got lots to talk about. November 3rd, Thor Ragnarok. Number 3. Bringing on a new director. Taiki Waititi. Man, for all I know is he did What We Do in the Shadows, which is awesome. So I was already pretty excited. This trailer kicks all sorts of ass.
Really?
I love this trailer. The first one. I haven't seen any of the others.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen the trailer. You like that? I mean, I'm looking forward to this movie. I can't say I'm excited about this movie.
I really like the Thor movies. I even really like the second one. So I'm definitely in the minority. I know that for a fact.
The trailers on these ones in particular just never give me enough of a sense of a movie to know what to expect. And maybe that's better, like going in with like low expectations so that I'm not disappointed or overstoking it.
I thought at least the first trailer was fairly obvious that this had way more comedy in it than the previous Thor movies had.
Is this some sort of like Bloodsport / Fight Club? Like I was confused.
A little.
Yeah.
It certainly looks that
way.
I
don't know. I'm just not... If it comes onto Netflix, I'll watch it because I'm a completist and I've watched all the other Marvel bullshit. But
the last Thor movie was...
With the ice elves.
That was like people aren't going to remember the reference, I think, but I was expecting Yakety Sax to come on in a couple of those scenes. I can't remember the comedian's name now, but
Benny Hill.
Yeah. It started to remind me of the Benny Hill show.
It's the only reason I took up the saxophone to play that song.
I actually really liked the second one, mostly because it was slightly different. I'm actually a big, big supporter of that action sequence where they're traveling through the universes. I thought that was really well done, and it's something that was new and unique, and I haven't seen done since.
That's not the scene that I'm thinking of, actually. It was part of the Battle of London where I was expecting, yeah. Anyway. There were moments that I really liked in the second movie, and then other moments that I thought were totally kind of misplaced. I really like Hulk in this series.
Yes.
Like something about the Hulk character and his relationship to the other characters.
I agree.
Really dig, and so I'm looking forward to that aspect of the movie.
I certainly think so. Think it looks a lot more a lot lighter in tone than the one previous, and I'm totally game with that. And yeah, come on, it's Mark Ruffalo and Cate Blanchett looking totally badass, so count me in.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen Cate Blanchett doing
everybody seems to be having a really good time, which I can totally go with. Also on the 3rd, A Bad Mom's Christmas. I can't believe they made a sequel, to be completely honest.
There's another one.
This looks terrible.
Yeah, there was an original. It was called Bad Moms.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So same directors, same cast. So this reunites Catherine Han, Kristen Bell, and Mila Kunis. The Bad Moms return for the holidays with their moms. Yeah. So you have Susan Sarandon, Christine Baranski, who looks hilarious.
That's the only reason why I'd even want to watch this, because I love that lady.
She's really funny. And the little bit that they have of her in the trailer is pretty... pretty choice, but I'm pretty sure it's not enough for me to watch this. Missed the first one. Probably going to miss this one.
I had even forgotten about the first one. I probably watched the trailers for the show.
Yeah.
I just watched YouTube clips of Christine Baranski in this. and I'd be
She's
fine.
She's pretty great.
Yeah.
In general.
I'll watch my version of The Ref again. Actually, that's, yeah. That's not a super role for her.
I haven't seen that in a while.
It's been a really long time.
The latest TV series, The Good Fight.
Oh, it's yeah. Better. I'm not watching that, so... But I do like her whenever she shows up. Also on the 3rd, Roman J. Israel Esquire, Dan Gilroy's new film, his follow-up to the excellent Nightcrawler. This one stars Denzel Washington as a do-gooder lawyer who basically loses his job and gets some working first as a lawyer for some not-so-reputable people. And, you know, shit goes wrong.
Yeah, well, also disillusioned. That was the thing that stood out to me is like, well, the guy, and he's pretty irascible. He was almost like
40 years fighting the good fight and basically gets screwed over. It's like, fine, now I'm going to use everything I know.
Yeah.
that was the journey that
to really, basically go the opposite way.
Agreed. That was the journey that really interested me about this film.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if I want to see it in the theater, but
yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. I like Washington.
Yeah, Denzel Washington intrigues me.
Very watchable.
But will it be enough to get me to watch it?
Yeah, and come on, Colin Farrell, always that nice to look at, among other things.
I won't disagree.
And really, I really like Gilroy's work. He wrote and directed this as well, so I'm willing to give it a shot. But I am not expecting another Nightcrawler.
No,
just leave it at that. Also on the 3rd, Last Flag Flying. This is Richard Linklater's new movie.
Steve Carroll.
Bryan Cranston,
yeah.
And Lawrence Fishburne.
That's right.
Three vets who reunite because one of their sons has died, and they go on like a road trip.
This looks really interesting to me.
Yeah, it's I found the trailer a bit of a weird mix of drama and comedy, which I don't think the balance was quite there, but I mean, maybe the movie.
Yeah,
does
a dramatic road trip with comedic sort of subsections. It's
well, and a very somber topic. Yeah. I mean, they're taking the guy's son back to.
Yeah, he's a soldier.
He decides not to let him be buried in Arlington Cemetery and basically steals the corpse away or something.
Yeah. They tie it to the top of the truck, don't they?
Weekend at Bernie's, but like
no
super
nothing.
Sad military death sort of subject matter.
That's a totally bad analogy.
No. There is no propping up the body. It's a casket.
Yeah, like Linklater is really hit. I can't say his name. Sorry, is really hit and miss with me. So I don't know on that count, but What did I say?
Sorry, I have pictures of like a military version of Weekend at Bernie's in my head.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh my god!
Do a one page write up. You might make $1 million.
Oh, somebody would totally do it,
like, a military bringing your son back. No, that's just me being a sick asshole.
I don't know. He tends to do like his. I generally like Linklater's approach to sentimentality, so I think it could work. But I'm with you. I'm just not sure. From the trailer, I can't gather whether this actually works or not. It's certainly a great cast of characters.
Oh the cast is
so
really good.
I'm curious. Definitely curious.
I mean, I love the concept.
Yeah, like it's a really great idea.
It's kind of a combination of a buddy movie and social commentary about
for sure
being. And I haven't seen a lot of movies that handle that content of like the parents of people that die in war. So
soldiers, yeah.
There's a lot of potentially interesting stuff in there.
I agree. Also on the 3rd, the one I am really excited about, Lady Bird. This is Greta Gerwig's directorial debut. It's actually her solo directorial debut.
And she wrote it, too.
Yeah. So it's semi-autobiographical. It stars Saoirse Ronan as a young girl who is kind of like a...
fish out of water?
Yeah. She feels like a young New York artist type, but she's not in New York. I don't know. I think it looks like it could be a lot of fun. Great performances from the looks of it.
I have only the trailer. Well, actually, I did try to watch some interview when I saw it was Greta Gerwig. I got kind of curious and I tried to see some interviews on the show and I got some pretty crappy fluff that did not tell me anything interesting about the movie. But I'm really like having grown up in a small town and having most of the things to do in the small town being things I wasn't interested in.
Yeah.
Even though this is about a young woman in Northern California, like I was kind of instantly drawn to the story.
Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to.
And like you were saying, like the writing looks pretty great. Like just the way her character is kind of in that true teen kind of unrealistic place. Yeah, but
I mean, Gerwig has written a couple of things before, and so her voice certainly comes through. But I mean, I think it seems like Saoirse has been like studying Greta Gerwig for years.
Like
she's got it down packed.
That one scene where it's like, "Why do mathematics?" Well, you haven't shown that you've been really good at mathematics. Well, not yet.
Yeah.
I want to go to like a school like Harvard, but not Harvard. And the lady starts laughing. You're not going to Harvard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some of those scenes like really intrigue me. So.
Yeah. I think it looks like it could be a lot of fun. I'm going to skip over Itefac because I couldn't figure out anything about it. And I have a feeling that this is not playing anywhere near us. So we're just going to skip it.
I skipped it.
To Blade of the Immortal.
Oh my God. Squee.
Colleen fangirls occasionally.
Yay.
I saw Takeshi this. Miki. And that was the thing that was like, Colleen alert.
Yeah. I clicked on it and it was like, all of a sudden the director's name came up. I'm like going, I love it already. I don't need to see anymore. But I want to see
his 100th film.
100th film.
Movie number 100.
Mr. Roger Corman, eat my shorts.
Pretty much. Yeah. Legit. So, yeah, I mean, if we really need a storyline, it's about this guy who takes on the role of, helping a young girl.
The professional, but set in samurai times.
Yes, actually, this is exactly correct.
Yeah.
Very good.
I love it.
Bill says it's great.
How could it not be?
Of course. I made the horrendous mistake of watching Hidden Sword at VIFF. In my mind, before I sat down, I was sure I was watching the new Mickey film, and I couldn't figure out why they were screening it at the center. Because, wow, they're really expecting a lot of people to show up for lots of gore.
Yeah.
I was way, way wrong. The movies have similar titles. They are 5 million things apart. So Blade of the Immortal looks great. I will certainly see it. We'll talk about it in passing coming up for December because it is going to play in Vancouver. So keep your eyes open.
I hope I'm out of school. I hope I'm out of school.
It's the first week of December.
So. Oh, in December.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
That'll be fine.
Also opening on the 3rd, My Friend Dahmer. This is Mark Myers' debut. Basically a...
Based on a graphic novel.
Thank you.
By somebody that went to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer and did a graphic novel on it. And it goes from his time in high school right up to his first murder and stops at his first murder.
This is one I've been trying to get my hands on for a while because I thought it looked rather interesting.
This has got to be one of the creepiest freaking things I've watched. Just knowing the end result of this. If I didn't know it, they never mentioned the name Jeffrey Dahmer or what was going to happen, I'd go, I kind of want to see what happens with this fucked
weird
up kid.
Yeah.
And now I'm like going, I know what's going to happen with this fucked up kid.
Yeah.
Pardon my language.
So Anne Heche stars as his mother. And Ross Lynch, who's actually a Disney star. He has been on like 5 seasons of a Disney show called Austin and Ailey or Allie.
Okay.
Yeah. Talk about breaking the Disney mold.
Yeah. Change your image much?
No shit, right? Yeah, I thought it looked pretty interesting. I'm curious.
I did not expect to like this trailer, and I was interested in found it interesting. I'm still not sure I want to watch the movie, but I'm way more interested than I thought I'd be.
Mm-hmm. Also on the 3rd, it's a very busy week. LBJ, this is Rob Reiner's new film starring Woody Harrelson as... Johnson.
Lyndon Bowles Johnson.
Pretty much. I actually did not recognize Woody Harrelson in the first, like, 30 seconds I saw in the trailer.
Absolutely.
And then when I did figure out it was him, I'm like, Jesus, that prosthetic chin really did a job on his face overall.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a really interesting looking film. It basically covers the period just before Kennedy's assassination and then right into him becoming president. What I thought was particularly interesting, having seen Jackie last year, which basically takes place like
right after. A short slice.
Yeah. And to see what we saw of what happened in Jackie and then to see like almost the same exact scenes in this was weird.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly curious to see the movie. I mean, Reiner is no slouch. I mean, he hasn't made great movies, but he's made some great movies as well. I mean, he sort of has done the whole thing.
I find him really hit and miss.
Yeah, very much so. But I mean, he's made some really amazing films and really it's a fantastic cast.
Well, the clip they showed in the trailer, it was a perspective that I had not understood. I mean, I was a little bit aware of like that whole Southern representation, but that part of the film that I saw in the trailer has me fascinated.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a really interesting take. I'm certainly curious to see more.
Yeah, I am very interested in this. He's, out of all the sort of modern era presidents, he's the one I least know anything about.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I found it interesting just watching. It just, JFK's agenda was not his agenda, but after he died, he decided to keep trying to push JFK's agenda, even though that's not what he wanted.
I found that really fascinating.
Like, that shows something about the man that I'm going to put aside what I want because we're not done what he wanted yet.
Yeah. Well, and I'm filling in for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where I first read that. It was quite a few years ago, but that was when I first got interested in LBJ. I think it was something I was reading about the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Because that wasn't something that wasn't really LBJ's thing, but it was Kennedy's thing.
Yeah.
And so he kind of, against his better judgment, continued in. But the one thing that does worry me about with films like this is where they're getting their source matter from. Mm. Like, you know, are we seeing kind of
a more dramatized
whitewashing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that worries me about this film.
Very, very, very good point. Moving on to the 10th, Murder on the Orient Express. Kenneth Branagh and the cast of fucking everybody.
I miss movies like this.
So do I.
It looks awesome. Everything about it looks awesome, but I can't stop staring at that mustache. I grew up with the Hercule Poirot's what's-his-face.
I think I know
him. Yeah, the little Belgian. And he had the very petite mustache, and it was very... Yeah, and he's looking at this guy, and he's rocking some great big Larry McDonald motherfucker straight across his face. I'm really sweary today. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's throwing me for a loop. That's not in my mind what Hercule Poirot's very neat as a pin mustache should be like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do I need to explain what this is? I mean, at least at this point, I think everybody knows.
If you don't know the Agatha Christie story. Murder on the Oriental Express, which has been done like is
a bunch of times.
Gather all the witnesses, suspects in one room.
It's like an archetype, right?
Oh, totally.
For mystery, like it set a tone for mystery writing.
Yeah.
You need slot A, slot B, slot C, slot D, and slot E.
It's like every murder mystery like game party has taken its
exactly
from Agatha Christie.
This is like take the
clue.
The premier story of its genre, get a whole bunch of actors that are like really good.
Yeah.
Mostly really good. I mean, Depp's in there too. And just let them do their thing.
Pretty much.
Is what the trailer looks like. I'm in.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh makes everything look lavish.
Dame Judi Dench as the princess.
Come on, of course.
Absolutely, she is.
You got that. You got it.
Freaking the queen.
Legit. More than once. Mm-hmm. Also on the 10th, another... probably an unnecessary sequel.
Yeah.
Daddy's Home 2. This time the grandfathers are involved, so they've thrown John Lithgow and Mel Gibson into the mix.
I guess the first one made money, huh?
Apparently somebody watched it.
Or,
you know, John Lithgow, I'm glad you need money and you have work available for your financial needs, but I really wish you'd do more things like The Crown, where you were Winston Churchill and blew me the fuck away. Again, very sweary today.
This is terrible.
I couldn't figure out for November why we were seeing
Christmas movies?
Christmas movies until one of the trailers that we're about to come up on actually mentioned Thanksgiving. It's like, American Thanksgiving is in November. And so, soon as Thanksgiving is done, Christmas starts.
Pretty much. Also on the 10th, I actually didn't watch the trailer for Daddy's Home 2 because it was just like nothing for me there.
I watched it because of John Lithgow. I was very disappointed.
So I don't know if you guys have anything to add, but I really have nothing.
No, it's pretty much
beyond they made a sequel.
What would you? I mean, it. You know, like I always say, like if this floats your boat, more power to you. I hope you enjoy it and have fun.
I don't begrudge you, but inside I am totally.
Well, it's like I
can't help it.
I hope this didn't prevent a movie that I wanted to see being made. Yeah, exactly. There's that selfish part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. Also on the 10th, the one I am actually looking forward to: Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Frances McDormand, man,
killing it, man.
I love that.
So
lady.
This is
and a completely different Woody Harrelson.
Very much. So Martin McDougar returns. He of In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths. Pat's fame and a bunch of stuff that he's written, which is just completely dark and fucking hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
So Frances McDormand plays a woman who is whose daughter is murdered. A year later, the police still hasn't basically figured out who did it.
They've been dragging their heels.
Pretty much. So she gets pissed off and she buys a bunch of billboards outside of Missouri and, you know.
You know, friction happens, and then she goes, fine, things are finally starting to happen. Let's just put some gasoline onto the fire.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
If I heard the concept, I would have been, like, really unsure of it. But, I mean, like I said, like, I saw Frances McDormand's performance, and I was like, wow.
She's back.
This sells
it took
it for
me a couple, maybe 15 seconds 20 seconds in the film to all of a sudden click in. It's like, oh, Jesus, that's...
Yeah.
And then I got really excited and interested.
Yeah. It looks pretty fantastic. I'm super excited for this one. Also on the 10th, Thelma. Joaquin Trier returns. He has made a couple of really interesting films. The last one he made was actually his English language debut, Louder Than Bombs, which was okay, not particularly great. So he returns to his native tongue with a thriller about a young woman who is sort of coming of age, falling in love for the first time. And as that is happening, some other weird shit's happening to her as well. She turns out she might have superpowers. Just kind of badass.
And it's in Norwegian, right? It's subtitled anyway.
Yes, correct. I am probably the most upset and saddened that I missed this at BIFF. It was on a day that I had planned to go and then things went out of my control and I missed it. So I'm hoping that this makes its way to Vancouver because I would really like to see it. The trailer is beautiful. So no surprise. If anybody's seen any of his other movies, you kind of know that he's very sort of slow-paced and... assuring, but it's not for everybody.
I had no idea what to make of the movie based on the trailer.
Yeah, I think it looks beautiful.
It gave me no idea what kind of movie it wanted to be.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure either. I don't know if it's actually like a drama or a thriller, or are they going to play the supernatural angle more? But I'm certainly curious to find out. Also opening that week, the Justice League. Or is that another week?
My list 17th? Says the 17th.
Yeah. Zack Snyder, they're still giving Snyder sole directing credit, though I do understand that Joss Whedon is directed the last like 3 months of the shoot or whatever. I don't know. I quite honestly don't know. I hope it's awesome.
I hope it's awesome, but this trailer doesn't make me hopeful.
It's too
trailer
dark.
Was terrible. Yeah.
They're dreary. They did shortly after the Wonder Woman movie came out and made lots of splash. They recut a trailer that had more Wonder Woman and it was a little bit lighter in tone. And I'm not sure that they've managed to rescue the movie as far as that's concerned. But I mean, I'm certainly curious. I'll see it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to skip it.
Yeah.
But I want more Superman. I want more Lois Lane. I want lots and lots of Wonder Woman.
Flash
looks awesome.
There's something comedic about superheroes. If you absolutely deny any sort of ludicrousness of this whole concept and just make it all dark, 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 I think you're missing out on a little bit of the levity.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a different issue. I mean, Batman aside, because of Batman's side story, but I mean, for me, the thing about superheroes is they're deciding to do this, like, fighting the badness in the world. And so when you combine that with, like, a dark thing.
In leotards and capes.
In leotards and capes, yeah, literally. You have to have something going on with the motivation of the character to set that world right for me.
Yeah,
I might be out of tune with the crowd on this, but so many of these dark versions of these characters, I'm like, why does this superhero, like, given these circumstances, give a shit? Why don't they just go away?
Yeah,
it's the pendulum. Like, super dark, dark DC comics, everything is dark and miserable, and The Tick. There's a lot of real estate between The Tick and dark, depressing Dark Knight. You find a middle ground there somewhere. It doesn't all have to be so heavy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree.
You look at Zack Snyder's movies, and I've enjoyed a couple of them, but for the most part, they tend to be of a style that I find not as compelling as other directors.
Yeah, and that I think that he gets a lot of flack for that. I mean, I certainly like his work probably more than most people. And I like his sort of darker sensibility. Comic book movies just are not really my thing. So there has to be something in there that...
Paul Rudd?
Well, yeah, there's Paul Rudd. But I mean, you have to give me more because the story is just not enough. Like, Wonder Woman, sure, because she's fucking awesome.
Yes.
And like, there's a couple of other characters in there that are, you know, great. But I mean, I don't give a shit about Batman. You know, I didn't give a shit about Batman in 1989. I don't give a shit about Batman now. I just don't fucking care. So, you know, you got to make him somehow interesting if you're going to include him in your story.
I just want his toys. That's it.
Well, this is the thing. If he can take the piss out of himself, great. My favorite line in that trailer is when the Flash guy asks him, "What's your superpower?" "I have a lot of fucking money." Well, yeah. Well, that's what makes you superhuman, right?
Yeah.
You got a lot of money to spend on a lot of gadgets.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can keep that levity, then great. I mean, I'm certainly going to see it. It's got Wonder Woman in it. All the best for me. I just hope it works out.
Mm.
We're hoping for the best.
We're hoping for the best.
Is when it comes down to
it. All right.
And the Aquaman movie looks really awesome. It shouldn't, but it looks really awesome. Also opening on the 17th, Wonder. The director of The Perks of Being a Wallflower is back. Stephen Chbosky returns with Julia Roberts and Jacob Tremblay. Tremblay plays a young kid who has a facial disfiguration. He goes to regular school for the first time. And, you know, it's basically about the trials and tribulations of a young boy that doesn't really look like everybody else, trying to, you know, fit in with everybody else.
This is a modern day sort of mask, you figure?
Yeah, I thought that at first, too. It's based, I'm just making sure I'm not talking through my butt. It's based on a book that Chbosky
wrote, right?
Did he write the book too?
Or did he just adapt it?
Because
he wrote The Perks of Being a Wallflower, so I'm not really
sure.
That
was it. Yeah, he wrote The Wallflower.
And he adapted this,
He adapted this.
Yeah.
But he also got to direct this.
Yes, correct.
And I think he didn't direct Wallflower.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, okay. It was his debut. And it was kind of shocking because he had never really done anything as far as films, and all of a sudden he comes out like as this fully mature filmmaker, because I mean, Perks of Being a Wallflower, all things considered, is a really, really well-made film. It tells a really great story. Mind you, he had some really great actors to go with that. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's certainly not slacking here. You've got Julia Roberts, basically one of the best young working actors today. So
Mandy Patinkin, who doesn't do a lot of stuff anymore.
No. Unless it's, is he still on?
Criminal Minds? No, he left that a billion years ago. It's like 2 years in went. Nope. Yeah.
No, but wasn't he in?
I don't know. He's the king of getting cast as like the lead guy in something. And then
leaving?
Leaving like basically at the start of the second season.
Okay. But I mean, he certainly.
It's usually him leaving.
Homeland is probably.
Homeland is the one I'm thinking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He usually doesn't get jettisoned. He leaves for whatever reason. Yeah.
He's still in Homeland. Yeah.
I stopped watching Homeland a couple of seasons ago, so I wasn't sure if he was still in that. But yeah, I mean, it certainly looks great. The pedigree is fantastic. I always watch. I love Julia Roberts. I love watching her. Mm. She makes everything look so easy. She's kind of like the female version of Tom Hanks.
I made my case with Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I love her. I really do. So I'm really curious. I'm certainly curious to see this
one. Take Sandra Bullock over her any day. I like Sandra Bullock.
I like Sandy B too, but Roberts is just like...
I find her more grating
Roberts
for somehow.
Roberts is a better actor.
I'll agree with that, but she also I find way more grating.
What, you don't love her like million watt smile?
No. Just stop.
I'm actually liking Roberts better now that she's getting these roles for older women.
More mature roles?
I don't know. Some of the, and maybe it's not her fault. In fact, it probably isn't if I'm liking her now, but yeah.
No.
Enough said.
Also on the 17th, The Star. This is the animated film from the guys that made Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs that is probably going to come. It's going to come out of nowhere and make a shitload of money. You just know it.
The only thing I can say about this is I do like the fact that there are camels in it.
And the camels look like they're central to the story.
Oh, and I have to admit, like the female camel who has like the really awesome sort of like bob haircut.
Sure.
Which don't really exist on camels. She has all this shaved markings all over her neck. Though that's actually done in Saudi Arabia and some of the Middle Eastern states. They have beauty pageants for camels. It's amazing.
Is that?
And some of the most beautiful camels in the world come with these elaborate shaved-in patterns all over their... Oh, my God. They're gorgeous.
Is that the camel voiced by Oprah Winfrey?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
I was
exactly.
I cannot believe the cast on this.
It's
Tracy
stupid.
Morgan and
hi. So you have Steven Yeun, Kristen Chenoweth, Zachary Levy, Gina Rodriguez, Tyler Perry, Christopher Plummer, Keegan-Michael Key, Kris Kristofferson,
yeah.
Ving Rhames, Anthony Anderson, Mariah Carey, Oprah, Gabriel Iglesias, Tracy Morgan, and Kelly Clarkson, among many others.
Yep.
It's fucking ridiculous.
And it sort of came out of nowhere. Like, I have not heard anything about this, and then wham.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So, I mean, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs certainly was a bit of a surprise hit. It came out of nowhere. They made two movies.
Yeah.
They were both quite good. Like, they're solid.
Tyrese Campbell, good.
I really like the first one.
Well, yeah. No, they're both solid. Like, they're well made.
I've
and
seen
they're
them
actually,
both. Yeah. I really like the first one.
And they're good. This one, I'm not sure. I'm kind of on the fence. It's basically the Christmas story told from the point of the animals who saved the day.
I really watch it just for the camels.
Which has been done as a cartoon way back in the day. So
okay.
It probably needed an update.
Yeah, it looks like it could be fun. Not for me, but it certainly looks like it could be fun. And also on the 17th, I Love You Daddy, another one that sort of came out of nowhere for me.
Wow.
In the
context of Here and Now, this is interesting.
Super creepy.
I have very, very mixed feelings about this because I'm not a huge Louis C.K. fan to begin with. But
no.
Written and directed by Louis C.K., starring Louis C.K. as this really renowned, I think he's a director or something. His daughter comes to live with him. He's basically letting her run her own life. She's like 17, 16, 17?
Yeah.
Played by Chloe Grace Moretz, who falls in love with a much older director, played by the always uber creepy, but really, really great John Malkovich. And like all this other shit happens. I mean, and in the context
Our
of what's
current
going
Weinstein,
on,
yeah,
it's very weird that this is. I'd be surprised if this actually goes through with the.
I was going to ask you, do you want to take odds on it getting pushed back? I'm not sure if this is going to help it or hurt it.
I don't know either.
I mean, the other thing too is I understand, but I I'd hope to research it before the podcast, but Louis C.K. has had his own kind of misogynistic accusations,
which
right?
is why. And I mean, if you watch some of his comedy, it's he's walks the fence a lot. So that's the other thing. Like I have some very, very mixed feelings about the whole thing.
The one thing I will say, the girl that they cast for the daughter.
Yeah. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Is not a twiggy little ingenue. Like, no. And I thought that was kind of delightful.
I mean, and she's like, the cast is really impressive, and she's a solid actress. She's been in a lot of really great stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm just not sure. Like, the odds, I think, are 75% that this gets buried.
I like the visual style of the film. Like, it has got a very sort of interesting...
I thought it had like a very 50s kind of Marilyn Monroe kind of feel.
Modern, but throwback at the same time. Yeah,
like the trailer I saw was black and white, high contrast.
And I think the movie is black and white, high contrast.
Part of me wants to say Woody Allen, and then part of me wants to beat myself up for saying Woody Allen.
But maybe that's more fair than you know.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of mixed.
The whole thing, I'm like going, I have no idea how I feel about this at the end of it. I'm like, weird.
Yeah, very, very odd. Yeah. It was really, really odd. But I mean, I like, honestly, as a movie, I think it looks really interesting.
I love some of the concepts they're going in with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the subject matter, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have other. We'll talk about that again coming up. But moving on to the 24th, I have personal issues with this movie. This is Disney Pixar's Coco, the latest from the co-directors of Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo. The story of a young boy who basically travels to the afterlife during the Day of the Dead celebration. Looks beautiful. It's a Disney movie. It's really well made. I will not see it.
Cultural appropriation?
No, I have serious issues with the way Disney has handled this particular sort of subject matter, because they at one point had the Book of Life director, whose name, Jorge Gutierrez, wanted to do something very similar at Disney, and they told him that it was too Latin.
Oh.
He needed to tone it down. So he went and made Book of Life on his own. And now, you know, a couple of years later, this comes up. So I mean, great that they're moving forward, but my personal feelings are a little too strong. I will not see it.
Yeah.
That's usually as soon as I see Disney, I start grinding my teeth. It's just so much baggage in my own head. It's not necessarily directed at Disney. It's just Disney grind teeth.
I mean, I have my issues sometimes like that as well. But the first place I went to was, and I don't know whether this is honest, like, I don't know whether this is good or bad, but I started looking at like the names of the creatives involved. It's like, is this going to be another issue of cultural appropriation? Are we going to have like another Pocahontas where they've completely mashed somebody's culture? Like,
I couldn't find any guidance. No, I mean, one of the directors is of Latin descent. I think both of them might actually be. So they're certainly, I think, creatively speaking, I think that they probably have the right sort of balance. I think that they've probably done a good job with it. And I think they would be hard-pressed to go forward if they hadn't done their homework on it because of what happened with Gutierrez. But, yeah, for me, personally, I just won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Sorry.
I don't think you need to apologize for that.
No. Moving on to the 24th, and oh, my fucking God, I cannot wait.
Speaking of prosthetics and not recognizing somebody. I could not see Gary Oldman in here anywhere, and I knew who he was playing.
Yep. So Darkest Hour. Gary Oldman as Churchill in the thrills of World War II, directed by Joe Wright.
I love the subject matter of Winston Churchill, and like I mostly, when I went to London, the one thing that I had to see was the Churchill war rooms and shit like that. And I watched that trailer, and I have no idea what it was about.
Really?
And I love, it just seemed like I wasn't quite sure which particular I don't know.
It was around Dunkirk.
I know, but like, what was going on with everything else? I don't know.
Oh, there.
Well, it was okay. A bit of a mishmash in the trailer I found. Like, I don't know.
I had cubby holes put maybe all that I'm stuff on crap. Into.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you came away with that, that means that they didn't do a good job portraying the story. I mean, I don't have a strong understanding of that particular part of history, but I have enough that I had a cubby hole to put all of those bits and pieces in.
Yeah.
Like, Churchill was not well-liked in his party.
Oh, no, not at all.
He was like that harbinger that everyone wanted to tuck into a corner, but he was the man they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the shit time, hit the yeah. fan, and that yeah. was kind of what most of the trailer was, and
maybe
around just, Dunkirk, you know, was when all of that went down.
Maybe it's because it seems to start right there, and it doesn't really feed into it at like all. It felt
like it bounced around a bit.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being me.
Well, and I, you know, to be completely honest, I know very, very little of the history, so to me, it was just like a. The trailer was going to work either as a piece of art or it wasn't, and I thought it was really well executed, and that certainly sold me on the movie. So, I'm in. I was in before seeing anything. Gary Oldman and Joel Wright together, sold.
Historical drama.
Yeah. It's World War II. It's Churchill.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
Yeah, I was sold on paper. Never mind pictures.
Also, if you go to London, go to the Churchill War Rooms. Just do it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's been there, done that, but I was a little bit disappointed I didn't see Lithgow.
He's so good in The Crown. Yeah, oh, my God.
Is. He's pretty amazing.
And you know what? It's not even like Ullman, I thought, looks closer to Churchill than Lithgow did, but I bought into Lithgow being Churchill. Like, it just something about the whole I've embraced this character and I am freaking Churchill.
Yeah. Also on the 24th, Polaroid. I think we may have talked about this in the past.
I thought we had.
Yeah, because the trailer had a release date of August, so I don't know if they've pushed it. I haven't been tracking it that closely, so we'll talk about it very, very quickly. Based on a short story, on a short film that Lars Klevberg, the director, directed a number of years ago, and he's expanded it now. Basically, a bunch of kids find a camera that takes pictures, and then shit goes wrong. It is what it is. You're either going to love it or not.
The camera's possessed.
Pretty much. It does star Madeline Petsch of Riverdale fame. So there's that. She's the only one I recognize.
Yeah.
Moving on to Call Me By Your Name, Luca Guadagnino's film, which is like winning audiences everywhere. I can see why. It's very, very charming. It's a really, really wonderful romance.
Yep.
Armie Hammer and Timothée Chalamet, who is like superstar in the making. This kid is so good. Written by James Ivory.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, people. It's lovely. What do you guys think of this trailer? Italy in the summer.
Yeah. It has a very specific vibe to it kind of thing. And either you're really into that or you're not. I think it'd be a good film, but somehow it's just not
jiving
triggering for me. Yeah.
No.
There's nothing I can say against it. There.
It was beautiful. I usually don't go for straight up love stories, which this seemed to be. So that part kind of, I think A Room with a View.
Yes.
If it's that, am I thinking of the right one?
That'd be fair.
Yeah.
Is like the only kind of romance that I got sucked into.
Oh, so good. You have excellent taste, by the way.
But so this one, like, it looked beautiful. It looked like a nice story, but it kind of didn't have my name on it, I think.
Yeah. I loved it more than everybody else did. So, hey, there is that too. So I might be talking it up a little bit more, but I'm a big, big fan. Highly support it. I say go see it, people.
We're allowed to have our own personal tastes.
Yep.
Bruce Campbell.
did you notice he had a book?
Yeah, I know. I stayed away.
Oh.
I'd totally fangirl and do something stupid and be arrested. So best I just not.
Also on the 24th, The Man Who Invented Christmas, the quote-unquote real-life story. I have no idea.
I took that with a grain of salt. The real-life
story of Charles Darwin. All right, Charles Darwin. Charles Dickens. Yes. Sorry.
Writing a Christmas carol.
Yeah.
Writing the evolution Galapagos. Of man.
Actually, this would be an interesting movie. I would watch
it
that.
It would be a mashup.
Oh, my God. Like Freaky Friday where Charles Darwin and Charles
Were they
Dickens?
Ever together in the same room? I ask
I'm
you.
I'm
going to
research this now.
Oh, my God. So Dan Stevens as Charles Dickens. a bunch of other characters, including Christopher Plummer, who was so great.
Another great cast.
Yeah, very much so. I think it could be fun. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for movies that have like writing as one of the topics.
Oh, yeah.
And this does. So I'm going to see it anyway. And even if there's been a couple bad movies, I'll admit they're bad, but I still enjoyed them because of that.
I'm with you there.
So I think for me, this is going to be almost a slam dunk.
Just so you know, did Charles Dickens meet Charles Darwin?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I started typing it in and it came up on Google search. So I'm not the only one.
Colleen is researching this as we speak.
But yeah, this looks like really... So the thing that was you're either going to love or hate is...
Dan Stevens?
Yeah.
I love...
Yeah, probably Dan Stevens. I like Dan Stevens. The conceit of the story... Jeez, that sounds too fancy. Anyway, the theme of the story is that Dickens is struggling to write A Christmas Carol, and... As it's coming together, he actually sees the characters, and then the characters become personified by like Christopher Plummer and the like. And it's very much played for comedy, and it looks absolutely delightful.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be nice to have a Christmas-themed movie that is light and funny.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping that that is that, if nothing else.
Man, that trailer was really badly cut, if it is anything but.
Yes, agreed.
I mean, Christopher Plummer's snark as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Lovely.
Was just amazing. And then when he's talking about, like, the characters aren't doing what I want them to do. I hear writers say that all the time.
Yeah, that's funny. So do you have an answer?
From a short cursory search of Google, their answer is no one can be sure.
Okay. Like real
life?
They were
contemporary. They were in the same areas at the same relative time or something. It sounds like a bit of overlap, but it's no proof that they ever met.
We'll never know.
But I'm going to assume they did. There's no
proof that they didn't.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Dale, you were so spot on. There's no proof that they hadn't.
Exactly.
You can't track both of them. The entire time.
Oh, you guys crack me up. And the month closes
They're the
with...
same person.
Oh, my God.
That's what I said. We've seen them in the same room. Apparently, we haven't.
No, it's Clark Kent and Superman.
And the month closes with Chappaquiddick, which I had to look up because I didn't know what it referred to.
I'm old enough.
refers to Chappaquiddick Island, Massachusetts. This is directed by John Curran, who did The Painted Veil and Tracks, who I fucking love this guy, so I will watch anything he makes. And even though there's no trailer, I will totally watch this if it ever comes across my desk.
I found something that might have been a trailer,
okay.
But it was not. It didn't have any of the actors in the movie. I almost thought it was for a documentary named the same thing. But
yes,
then
and apparently, because when I did a cursory search for Chappaquiddick. Thank you. There's apparently been a couple of documentaries on the subject matter already.
Yeah. Oh, so conspiracy theorists like batshit crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time I'd ever heard of it. So it like, kinda, to me, well, it was...
I think when Ted Kennedy like... When his star faded, it became less of a thing. But for the whole time that he was a powerhouse in politics, it was always the elephant in the room. Well, and sometimes it was mentioned and sometimes it wasn't.
So this takes place after his campaign strategist was killed in a car accident.
Found dead, basically, in the car.
And so, like, what is the mystery there? Like, do they think somebody killed her? Or?
Well, the mystery was that it was never fully investigated.
Okay.
Like, she was found in the car. It was presumed that she died in a car accident with Kennedy, but Kennedy had apparently walked back to his hotel.
Okay.
Didn't call the police. And they, like, they showed up. And so there was this whole, like, well...
Did he kill her?
What the hell was going on, and why didn't you go to the police if it was just a plain car accident? And then conspiracy theorists came out and said it was like this elaborate this elaborate setup to kill his career so that he wouldn't run for president. Because he was the next one in line, right? Yeah. After the first two were assassinated.
Yeah.
He was enough of a powerhouse that he could have ran for president. And people expected him to.
Oh, okay.
And then this whole Chappaquiddick thing happened and it completely torpedoed his career.
But he totally Jeb Bushed it.
Oh, man.
So, I mean,
Jeb Bush, wouldn't you have been a better alternative?
That was the total context of what I know about it because it happened before I was born, but politics with Ted Kennedy, it was like I said, it was like the elephant in the room.
Yeah, so and we've talked about this movie now for a few minutes, and there was no trailer.
No trailer.
That I could find. So it stars Kate Mara as Mary Jo Kopechne, also Jason Clarke, Ed Helms, and Bruce Dern. I mean, it sounds fascinating. Great director, awesome cast. I'm in all the way.
And it's going to, I mean... Oliver Stone came to mind when I read this because it's going to be a recreation. Like there's still lots of people contesting what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And that's the month in general, but let's talk about some of the local stuff that's opening in town. At the Van City Theater, I alluded to this earlier, but Una, this is Benedict Andrews' film with Rooney Mara and Ben Mendelsohn. So Mara plays this young woman who has tracked down this guy. It turns out that when she was like a girl, like very young, she had a romantic relationship with him and he was her neighbor and very, very much older. And it sounds like there could have been some charges pressed and stuff. So, the general feeling on this from people that have seen it is that they either could disassociate themselves from the subject matter enough to appreciate the movie or they hated it. So strong reactions. I'm certainly curious to find out. It's playing the Van City November 3rd to the 11th. The Force, Peter Nick's documentary about police in, I want to say it's somewhere in the States, but I can't remember because I don't remember seeing a trailer. Playing November 6th as part of Music Mondays, DOA, A Rite of Passage. This is like the 1983 documentary from Lech Kapalski. I went to see another movie at the Van City earlier this month and they showed a trailer for this. And the two things should not have gone together.
No?
Like when this trailer came on, the audience, which was mostly like older, like people in their 50s and 60s, there to watch a documentary about the blues, were not impressed. It was really, really weird. Really, really weird. So there's that.
They don't like Joey Shithead? Isn't he DOA?
I
can't remember now.
I don't know. It was just very, very funny. Also at the Van City, November 17th to December 2nd, Brett Morgan's documentary on Jane Goodall called Jane. It's getting a lot of press at the moment because I think it just opened in New York and L.A. Also at the Van City, November 17th to the 25th, Petra Volpe's The Divine Order, which I randomly walked into at VIFF. I hadn't planned on seeing... Look, seriously, I hadn't planned on seeing it. My schedule had something else on it for that day. I had lunch with Val, and lunch went very late, and I missed my first movie, and I got there, and I'm like, well, what the fuck am I going to watch? I'm like, well, I'll watch this. It starts at the right time. And it was awesome. It's Sweden's entry for the foreign language Oscar. It's about women getting the vote in Sweden in, like, the mid-70s.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It was really weird. It's like...
think Sweden is progressive, too.
Exactly, right? It was very... And it's all... It's handled very light. Like, it's a very light sort of comedy to get to some really fascinating and dark subject matter. But it's quite good. I rather enjoyed it. Paradise. I can't remember what this is about, so we'll just skip over it. Playing at the Van City from the 17th to the 22nd. And then Faces Places. This is Agnes Varda and J.R., being fabulous, traveling around Europe, taking photographs and displaying them and just being lovely human beings and having too much of a good time. November 24th to the 29th, if you happen to have missed it at VIFF, which I did. So I'll probably finally get to catch up with that. Moving over to the Cinematheque, we're recording this a little bit early, so they haven't posted their entire schedule, but they are running a series called Revolutionary Rising, the Soviet Film Vanguard. So they're basically showing some early Russian films running November 2nd to the 19th. The series is quite long, but I just picked up a couple of titles that I thought were interesting. Battleship Potemkin, The Man with the Movie Camera, which I saw for the first time at the 24-hour movie marathon, and it was amazing.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's very, very good. And then Alita, Queen of Mars, which is actually one of my favorites. I think I might like this better than Metropolis.
Nice.
I know.
No, that's fine.
Also this month, the Vancouver Asian Film Festival is running November 2nd to the 5th. They have done something a little bit different with their program this year. They're mostly doing talks and short film programs from the looks of it. And they're only showing, that I can find, two features. Huh. Their opening night film, which is Columbus, which is fantastic. Highly, 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 highly. Can I say enough highlies? Recommend it. This is...
One more.
Highly. Koganada, who is a film essayist, it's his first feature, stars John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson, who is spectacular. And it's about these two people that meet and talk about architecture, but they have, like, there's some other drama in their lives. It's fantastic. I cannot recommend it highly enough. And then their closing night film is Gook, which we talked about earlier this year. This is John Cho's like 1980s set during the LA riots, but from like a Korean perspective. So that's their closing night film on the 5th. And then they haven't really announced anything, but the Rio Grind is running November 16th to the 19th. The only film they've announced is their closing night film, which is Joseph Kahn's Bodied, which I know nothing about other than Bill saying that I have to watch it.
I see.
Because he saw it at Fantastic Fest and had nothing but good things to say. And he's like, if they screen it, you need to see it. I'm like, okay.
Sweet.
So we'll keep our eyes on the calendar for that. But yeah, we'll link to the Rio website and you can check it out.
Did he go to Fantastic Fest?
He did go to Fantastic Fest. Nice. Yes, he did. And that's it. That is November.
Something or other.
Pretty much.
All right.
Sorry, those were weird noises at the end. I've lost my mind.
I thought you were...
We only judge you slightly.
Channeling,
judge
me a lot. Channeling a puppy or something.
Probably. Okay. Come on by row3.com for links to all the trailers and stuff, the ones that we can find at least. Guys, anything else to add? Anywhere they can find you? Anything you want to plug?
Get your school done while you're young. Don't do it as an adult. It really sucks. And especially all your like jokes, they go over the head of the other 20-year-olds. So you only have like one 40-year-old that's in the class in the same situation you are that will laugh at your jokes. So stay in school, kids. Don't make bad choices like I did.
Can we need to like lift it up a little bit to end here. We cannot end on that.
I don't.
Mind you, that is such a good positive message. Stay in school, kids.
Stay in school. Stay in school.
Don't be like Leanie. Stay in school.
I always kind of admire, I'm just thinking like we had a couple, I don't know if they still call them mature students in my class.
She laughs at the word mature.
I kind of looked up to them because they had the life experience, right? Like the instructor would go blah, 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 and they'd go, that's not how it works. Let me tell you how it works.
Yeah, that's not real life.
Oh.
I told these people again, they were talking about getting like student loans and buying stereos and rims for their cars. It's like, you know, you have to pay that back, right? You know what interest compounds like, right? You know that if you only make your minimum payments, right? It's just going on and on and on. It's like, holy shit, I'm my dad.
And on that note,
it's scary how we turn into our parents.
I know, we don't even notice it. And then the next thing you know, you wake up one morning and you
and
see
you're
something
channeling,
and you're like,
yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, how did that happen? For sure. So yeah, until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
And I-